Welcome to The Care Social, the podcast where we discuss the biggest topics in social care right now. Whether you're a provider, a frontline worker, or just passionate about making a difference, we're here to bring you expert discussions, insights, and real stories from the sector. I'm Barry, Content Operations and Delivery Manager here at QCS, and today I'm joined by the one and only Paula Cashmore, who most of you already know as the Mary Poppins of social care, providing advice and support to social care leaders online and in person. Today we're talking about International Women's Day 2025 and Paula's personal journey within the health and social care. So, let's get started. Hi Paula, thanks for agreeing to join me today.
Thank you.
It's such a great way to celebrate the achievements of women around the world and for me to get the chance to talk to you and share your knowledge and experience with our listeners.
Hi Barry, thanks very much for having me. I just love the fact that this is the first time we've spoken in person despite being connected for the last 2 or 3 years. So thanks for having me.
The pleasure's mine, Paula. It's a real coup for me. So Paula, can I get some advice from you on how women can be successful in social care like yourself? And to start off with, what does International Women's Day mean to you?
I think International Women's Day is an opportunity to celebrate all the positive aspects that women bring to the world, not just to the workforce. One of an influential book that I read was called Half the Sky, and it talks about an old proverb that says women hold up half the sky, and it's understanding women's contribution to society in general.
You're probably going to get lots of people Googling that book and going to Amazon to buy it. I know there's a couple of people in QCS that are probably going to do that anyway. So what kind of support do you think women need to succeed in social care? And how can we address the issue of burnout within the sector?
Okay, so I think two halves to that question. What support do women need? I think the support they need is to actually be empowered to do what they want to do within the sector. Some people actually only want to have a part-time job to give them a little bit of edge, a little bit of income while concentrating on their family. And that was me for many, many years while I home educated my children. And I think forcing women who actually make up, 87% of the social care workforce, forcing them into thinking it must be a career path can alienate some people. So I think we need to be open to the fact that there are all sorts of ladies out there with all sorts of different career aspirations and job needs. So let's support the ladies that actually only want to work part-time. Again, not overburdening them with extra hours. Oh, I've got this shift to pick up. And you're going to alienate people and they're going to throw in the towel, go to retail, do a private cleaning job, anything out of social care because they feel pressured. I think what I see quite often is people get a part-time job, they only want 16, 20 hours and they feel pressured because they care. They see what problems the manager has in filling shifts. So they take on those shifts, and that then we come to the second part. That leads to burnout. That leads to burnout with carers, and not filling the shift leads to burnout with managers. So we have these two sometimes polarized extremes, and empowering managers to be able to do their job effectively, giving them the support they need, the recruitment tools will help them in that situation. So it helps both sets of ladies, those that want to work part-time and the manager that's getting their high-flying career, not to burn out.
That's great advice. And I think it's one of those things, isn't it, where both of us have probably seen a lot of carers, not just women, but a lot of carers in the sector that are happy with the level that they're working on. You know, they don't want to do an MVQ3. They don't want to do a diploma level 3 now, should I say. They're happy with what they do, but we seem to be driven by regulation and spectrum that says they have to develop, they have to move on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are just happy with where they're at, you know. So I think sometimes we just need to address that and be mindful that people are comfortable with what they're doing. They don't need to do any more to meet their personal needs at home. Yes. So what qualities then do you think women need to succeed in social care? Because it is a difficult sector to work in. I know my view, some of the women that I see succeed in social care, they are formidable people. And, you know, I sit and watch some of these women that I've worked with over the years in absolute awe, you know, and I look and say, if I could be 10% of the way you work, I'd be really successful because they're great. So the question for me is, from your point of view, what qualities do women need to succeed in social care?
I think most women come into social care because they care, and it's, you know, it's essential that they do care and that they understand and they care for their clients as well as their staff. But I think one of the big things is women need to learn to set boundaries. I don't think traditionally it's a strength that women have. They need to set boundaries and stick to them. And that can be from a management point of view. It works across all areas, work-life balance, local authority interactions, you know, other stakeholders, CQC. If women know their job well, they can set those boundaries and say, no, we're not doing that in this service. It doesn't break any regulation, but I challenge you as a regulator, or I challenge you as a local authority to tell me why I have to do that this way, and then work it from there.
That's really good advice. Saying no is really hard for many people, especially when you feel intimidated on inspection.
Yes, yes.
So great advice. So speaking of advice then, what would you tell your 16-year-old self then, starting out in a career in social care?
Interesting question, because at 16, I had no idea I was going to go into social care. At 16, I wanted to go into languages and be a translator. I got into nursing by accident. When I went into nursing at 17 as an ophthalmic trainee, I thought I was going to work in an optician shop up until the day I started the job, got handed uniforms and started to be taught how to make beds. And I realised it was nursing. So I'd got the job, I followed it through and realised this was what I was meant to be. So looking back, I'd say, have a plan. I wouldn't change anything. I have a faith that believes everything's for a reason. I always say I've earned this grey hair, and people that know me know my journey. So I wouldn't change anything, but I'd say don't be surprised at where your enthusiasm and your true passion for caring for the vulnerable will get you.
Really good. So for me then, on the topic of inspirational women, who's been your role model?
Yeah, I've got two different people that come to mind when I think of this question. The first one is from a personal point of view. My very first minister's wife, when I started going to church at 13, my minister's wife, she was so caring, and I saw how she delivered person-centered care in the late 70s, early 80s, before person-centered care was a thing. She met everybody where they were at. So learning how to care for people and understand them on a personal level and accept them for who they are came from her. But from a career perspective, there's a lady who I now consider a friend, a lady named Jazzy. When I was in the NHS, she was an inspirational leader. Only looking back now do I realise how she developed me as a leader, how she enabled me and saw the skills that I never realised I even had. So Jazzy and I still talk about idiots who are promoted beyond their competency. We still talk about people that are put in leadership that don't understand the projects that they're actually trying to lead. But she really helps me understand And she's an example of a good leader, meeting people where they're at, helping them with their strengths and helping them develop, you know, and not criticizing them for where they aren't developed yet, and putting people in the right places according to their strengths. And that's really important in social care, especially with all the roles available, knowing where somebody will perform best and not criticizing them, and encouraging the team to understand there's a balance, that everybody's not the same. I think that's invaluable. And Jazzy has been an inspiration in that area.
That's one of the qualities that one of my senior leaders has at QCS. And for them, it's about getting the right people in the right seat.
Yeah.
In reality, if you've got the right people in the right seat, then you're going to get a good job done and they're going to be happy. But my role model in life, to be fair, it has to be Mo Morland, the MP, because in her career, she personally succeeded and dominated in a very male environment.
Yes.
And she was incredible. My hometown MP, who supported and pushed me in my political journey, her own resilience in the face of personal health challenges, it was just inspiring. Because you could see her around the town. She wasn't just an MP. She wasn't anybody special. She'd just sit down and she'd talk to you, kicking her shoes off. You know, it was everything about her that made her special. And she was just more, you know.
But, yeah.
You know, people like her, and for me when I was involved in politics, she pushed me forward. And in a way, it's similar to what you're saying about Jazzy. You know, it's these kind of women and these kind of people that push you forward out of your comfort zone.
And when we speak about Mo Morland, I remember those days. I'm of that age as well. She wasn't frightened to, she didn't care what people thought. Like, she wasn't frightened to speak out and stand up. And again, that's all part of what I think women need, the support to set those boundaries and speak out and stand up. So, yeah, I can understand why that's definitely an inspiration.
So, if you had one wish for social care, then right now, there's so much going on in social care, what would it be? Considering everybody calls you Mary Poppins and you have the power to do these things, what would it be?
I think if people valued our vulnerable population, whether that's people with brain injury, learning disability, the elderly, they would invest in social care and respect the staff that work in social care. So I think the foundation is society actually valuing vulnerable people. And a lot of the other problems would be sorted out if we could just get the majority of people to value the vulnerable population. That's my thought.
We'll watch this space and see if your wish comes true. I'm sure with a spoonful of sugar and a can-do attitude, we'll get there at some point. So thanks so much for sharing your insights and experiences, though. I've really enjoyed it. You know, it's been practically perfect in every way. You brought great insights and you brought your personality, which is really good. So here's to celebrating women today and every day.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. And, you know, I'm happy to chat to anybody, give them insights, little snippets of wisdom or whatever. Thanks very much, Barry.
If you want to know more about Paula, or actually get in touch with Paula and get some advice, you can check her out on her active LinkedIn profile, or even email her at inquiries@paulacashmore.co.uk. Well, that's it for this episode of The Care Social. Thanks for listening. If you found this discussion helpful, share it with your colleagues. If you've got a topic you'd like us to cover, or even if you want to join us for an episode, comment below or email us at qcs@qcs.co.uk. Until next time, keep making the difference. And remember, everything is possible, even the impossible. Bye for now.